Communion, a new show here at Rhythmics Radio, brought to you by myself, TK the Kid, alongside my wonderful cousins. I got Ebony Day.
What's up?
What's up? What's up? I got Ayana Wilson.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey. And then I got Retta B.
What's happening?
What's happening? So this is our first time in the studio, so you guys going to have to bear with us. You know what I'm saying? We're trying to get this whole technical thing popping. We've been working on it. A little bit late, but we will be on time next time, but that's a part of just learning it all. So here we are. Communion basically is a show that came about a couple years ago. I come to my cousins with this idea about getting together and having these conversations where we break bread and break barriers. So that's where the idea came from. And ultimately, the goal was to sit down, have candid conversations like we normally always do, only record them at the same time while sharing a meal and sharing insight at the same time. So that's a play on the words of the word communion, where you come together and break bread, and in this case, the bond and the blood by us all being relatives. So cool ass theme. You're going to have to chime in and tune in to check us out, see what kind of things we talk about over time. But ultimately, the biggest thing is about breaking generational curses, figuring out how to, you know, love yourself a little bit more, figuring out how to be more involved in your community, you know, build on your legacy, stuff like that. So it's really just some candid conversations, a very conversational show where we sit back, kick back, maybe have some of our other cousins come in and come through from time to time. But ultimately, this is my crew. This is what we're going to do. And so we're going to start this first show off with our affirmations. We're going to always have an affirmation. So that's coming straight from Ebony Day. So what you got for us?
All right, ladies. So I got this affirmation. I worked really hard on it.
Hard.
So real hard.
Because
how come the writer is asking me to do it?
She's
the writer.
Well, now wait a minute, guys. Because as I remembered it, she said that she would bring her affirmation at the meeting.
Yes. No.
Yeah,
I said it would be great to have one.
Now, guys.
And the writer said, you gonna write that?
That's,
you gonna do that?
Right, those
that's how I remember it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case, then, cousin, what you
but
got?
It's all good.
What you got? What's our affirmation?
So this affirmation that I created is something that we can continually say even after today. So if you want to repeat it after me, I think we will set the intention and the atmosphere. All right. So, I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind.
I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I like that.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
Communion is where I come to unite with those around me.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am grounded and present in this experience.
I am here.
I am here.
And I am whole.
And I am whole. I like that.
Amen.
I like that.
Yes.
Don't that make you feel good? I hope y'all was repeating
yes,
after us.
Indeed.
And meanwhile, she has a whole dance that goes along with this affirmation. You guys
supposed to have the feel good
can't
music
see
after that.
You guys can't see the dance. Oh, wait, let me see.
Yes.
And she's a dancer, so she talks
body,
with her hands.
Mind.
You know?
Right. I'm present.
That's her present.
Right. Yes.
Present.
Okay. I'm
grounded.
Grounded. And
I'm here.
Present.
I'm here.
Yes. Feeling that one.
That's
feeling
it. That. Cheers. All right. So just one more time, because we live now on the show. We got Ebony Day here. We got Miss Ayana Wilson here. And we got Retta B right here. Hey, champ, is there a way for you to set this up so that it kind of faces towards this way to try to capture what everybody's seeing from this one? And then I can do a watch party from that later. So anyway, so this is an hour-long show, and it's going to be brought to you every Sunday at 5 p.m. Like I said, we're a little bit late, but we're about to catch up. Ultimately, at every segment, you're going to have us out here trying new wines, breaking some bread. It's going to have a delay on his. His going to have a delay. So we got the cheese spread, we got some fruit, we got some bread and crackers, just so that we can also break bread. And, you know, when I think about the idea of communion, right, and I know I said it earlier today, I know the people that, you know, there may be some people that struggle with us using that as an idea, but I know that when you're in church and in communion Sunday, the whole idea is to do it in remembrance of me being, you know, Christ, right? That's the whole idea of it while you're in church. You need something to write with? It's actually something in one of them bags. Okay. We live, so you can say whatever you want. You don't got a hand signal or nothing. Everybody can know what you're saying.
We good,
all right. but no, so do this in remembrance of me. And we're talking about Christ, right? But this show is really about being reflective and self. So I wanted to really turn that do this in remembrance of me inward. So that we are always doing this in remembrance of ourselves. We lose ourselves so much out here in the world. Mothers being parents to kids, us being siblings, us at work, stuff like that. So the whole point of this show is to always bring it back to our own selves. And this is an opportunity for us to commune and come back inside ourselves and doing it in remembrance of me, myself, Ebony. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You ready, you yawn. So we haven't said that. So we about to kick off March, right? So this is our first show. It's the last show of last Sunday of February. Our first show next month for March is going to start off with, I want to go back to a idea that I had gotten actually from Sonya. I don't know if you remember back when we did a self-love show. I had met someone through Ebony. I met her through you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sonya? Yeah. I met her through Ebony, and she had some really great ideas about some stuff she wanted to do and collaboration she wanted to have. She ended up leaving out the country, and there was just a lot going on at that time in 2018. And we'll talk about that at another time. That's not today's date. But nonetheless, we had this idea called March Meanness. I don't know if you remember that. You remember us talking about that? March Meanness. So I really wanted to take an opportunity to have this first show and kind of talk about that and how we're going to set some intentions for March about what we're going to do for ourselves. What does self-love look like for ourselves in March? I know one way I'm going to do that is some people at work challenged me to a 100-mile march. So I said, okay, starting the first day of March, I'm going to do 100 miles throughout the course of the month. So that's on average about 3.5 miles a day in order to make that whole, not necessarily running or, you know, walking out. I could walk it throughout the day as part of my job.
Right,
but by the steps. End of the day, yeah, mm-hmm. with my steps, by the end of the day, I should have about 3.5 miles per day, totaling out to 100 miles at the end of the month. Now, obviously, if I got a day where I'm short, you know what I'm saying? That means I got to make it up at another time. But ultimately, the goal is to get to 100 miles by the end of March. I know you can do that shit. You trying to be down?
Yeah, I'll be down. Yeah, I'd love
down?
To do that.
You love to do that?
Uh-huh. I'm with you. Yes, I need discipline in my life.
You need some discipline
in
your life?
I need to exercise.
You need to exercise?
Yes.
Yana?
I don't
know. Yana's not down.
Listen.
Yana's not down.
Listen,
man
Linda.
Is down. Man
listen,
is down.
Linda.
Come on, Yana.
The fat girl in me is saying 100 miles for the month.
I mean, okay, so listen.
Let me tell you something. If I can get 2 miles in for the month,
then
I'm
you
good.
Didn't. So this is what
so
I was going to say. So yeah,
so
this is what I'm going to say, right?
That's
so
right.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, and that's the. I'm glad that came up because that's the beautiful thing about shit like this. Nobody should be in contempt, right? The whole goal is for all of us to be better than we were. 100 miles for me is a goal that's feasible for me based off of things that I do on a regular basis. You know what I'm saying? If your goal is just 30 miles
right.
in the month because you're able to accomplish one in a day, every day for 30 days, and that feel good to you, great. If that shit is 5, at the end of the month, at the end of the day, we better than where we started. And that's the point. The point is that we better than where we started. So we're going with a 100-mile march for me. I'm going to charge E-Day to it.
Yeah,
I'm going to charge Reddit to it. And I'm going to charge Yana to doing however many miles she can get through.
That's
and whatever
right.
you can get through, even if it's one, we're going to celebrate you no matter what.
That's right.
Either way.
Now, does that mean
either
physically
way.
Or in my head? Because in my head, you know.
Hey, Reese said, I knew Yana was going to be like, nah. Damn, Slim.
I mean,
did he get us
head,
going? He couldn't get us
to
going.
Me, listen to me.
Oh,
in
we good.
Head,
okay.
You know, every day I get up. And I'm working out. And I mean, I'm busting a sweat in
like
my
shit.
Head.
Like shit.
But then when I go to put my sneakers on and get my stuff together.
That shit, it's your mind.
It be like, nah. You
it's your mind to do that, though.
It today.
It's your mind to do
like,
that.
Okay, what else I'm going to do?
And then you just don't do it?
And then I don't do it.
So you get suited up, get ready
get
to go.
Suited and booted.
And ready, and then don't do it. Suited,
like,
booted,
right.
but don't do it.
Yeah.
Why are we like that? Let's talk about that. That seemed like a thing, possibly. Why are we like, why do you think that happens to you?
I mean, you know, just, I don't know. Like, it be just me. I be like, some days I need a cheerleader, but then it's like, who in here is going to be the cheerleader? Because all y'all asses need to be doing it too.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody
you know
needs to walk with me.
Yeah. So, you know, I might have that sporadic moment when I'm like, all right, come on, I'm going to go.
Uh-huh.
And I'll walk around the block early in the morning. But then I'd be like, okay, that was good. I did it. You know, that's progression. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to do it again tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and I'd be like, no.
Not even.
Not going to do it today. So I don't know. You know, I...
So what do you think it is? Is it a matter of, I mean, everybody can weigh in on this. This is her statement, but nonetheless, everybody can weigh on it. So is it the motivation? Is it the discipline? What is it that allows us to get into spaces where we got things we know we want to do? It's things we know we probably need to do. And yet somehow, some way, we got a disconnect between what it is we know and need and the execution.
And bringing it to fruition.
What do you think that is?
I mean, part of it, I think, is discipline.
Okay.
Just really, like you said, it starts in the mind. If you can discipline your mind to the, not necessarily the habit, but we know once we do things a certain number of times, it becomes habit.
So right.
You automatically, when right. you get up, it's not, you know, it's just second nature.
Right.
So I think it's that. Then I think it's the distractions.
Yeah. More.
We're already telling ourselves, basically defeating ourselves, because we know we have
to. Hey, Grandma.
And then we're looking for distractions, or not that we're even looking for them. They appear.
Right. Yeah. Of course. Right.
And every little whim, oh, I got to do this first.
Yep.
Oh, I have to do that. And then we find ourselves, the day is gone. We haven't done exercise. We haven't meditated. We haven't done, you know, several things that will start your day off. Mm-hmm. But we just get distracted.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I think it's all of that. But I also think it is a question that we have to ask ourselves, do we really want it?
Yeah, sometimes that's it too.
And I think sometimes we don't want it enough to do the work. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I feel like we're not intrinsically motivated enough either. In addition to everything you just said, discipline, distractions, but I think sometimes we have to really reflect and ask ourselves, is this, like, do we really want it? Right. Like, and then if we do, then we have to do the work.
And you know what? I think that, oh, you got something?
No, I was just saying, yes, I think, like, what you're saying is, like, number one.
And that's everything.
I think that's the beginning. You know what's interesting about that? I think sometimes we got to figure out, is it the thing that we want or is it the end that we want? Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes you want to just, you know, I want to go walk and I want to be active. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I'll tell you, when I first started, like working out for real, I almost refused. And I don't know if you go through my post, you'll see that I actually speak to this at one point. I actually would not give myself a goal because I felt like the goal was going to tie me down to a certain expectation. So my mind was saying that, well, as long as I just go out and I do it, that's enough. So I was doing one of two things. I was either ignoring the result just so that I didn't have to deal with that part. Mm-hmm. But then I was also not holding myself accountable in a way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I wasn't pushing myself. I'm just out there walking. You know what I'm saying? Right. But what am I walking for? Why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. The end game is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I think that deciding if you're just walking just because I need to get moving, or if I'm walking because I want to lose weight, or I'm walking because I just need some air, you know, especially with COVID and all that, it got to a point where I just needed to fucking be outside. Definitely. You know, I got tired of being in the house, and that's what was drawing me outside, because it was like, where else can we go other than for a goddamn walk? You know what I'm saying? And so that just became my thing to clear my head and shit like that. But another thing, second to that, though, I also think that when you have a goal and something that you're doing on a regular basis, going back to what she said about the distraction. So I don't know if y'all remember when I was hitting the hill. Yeah. So I was hitting the hill like shit, and I never got to four times. So I really owe myself four times. I got to three. Yeah. I got all the way to three. So I got to get to a fourth time up and down. But the problem became the exhaust, which was legitimate. It was like a legitimate thing that I just could not handle, because I felt like I was about to be on one of them commercials where it's like, yeah, we're gonna take your headache, but we about to give you a broke leg and you're gonna lose a kidney and one of your eyes gonna pop out and all that. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, I'm walking up and down this hill and I feel like I could do that and I want to do it, but at the same time, with every single step, I feel like I'm breathing in every single thing that every car is emitting. And then I started to feel bad after I did the walk. So I think it really goes back to A, legitimate distractions, or things that just cause you to go back and revisit what your goal was and have to figure out how to tailor it to what it is you really need. Because I think my overall intention was great. You know what I'm saying? I was with the shits. Every day, out there, no matter what. It wasn't until that thing came up, and then I completely was, like, removed. As soon as that roadblock came up, I was completely removed from it. And that's where I feel like I did myself a disservice. Because at that moment, it was my job to figure out how to adjust and get back in the game and not get lost. And I think that that's where we miss it. I think as soon as something comes, the roadblock, your hurdle, something like that, we got so much other shit going on. Because then it became, well, when am I going to walk? If I'm not going to do the hill, where am I going to go? And now the weather's changing. Now it's raining. And now it's cold. Before I knew it, I had 15 reasons not to do it versus the one that I started with, you know, to begin with. So I think that is what, always having another plan. I think that's a big thing that I learned. Like, COVID is taught, I was going to ask all you guys, so I guess this will kind of take us into that. What has COVID really taught me, this whole experience around COVID? Because we all haven't been together since the book launch. Book launch was the last day that we saw each other's face. So that was last year in January, right? So what has COVID taught me? COVID taught me that you have to have a plan A, B, and C for your plan. You know what I'm saying? You have the plan for the plan's plan. You know what I'm saying? And make sure that you got somewhere to go when all else fails. Like, 2020 was supposed to be about traveling for me. You know what I'm saying? Just really coming off of getting divorced and stuff like that and breaking free from that. And I'm like, bet. Save my money, cleaning up my credit. I'm going to get out here, be taking trips, you know, all of that. And then COVID came and said, no, bitch, you ought to sit down. Actually, what you're going to do is sit your ass down. You know what I mean? And so I was really discouraged at first because I'm like, now, wait a minute. How do I get all the way here, ready? I done it. Then I started to feel like, see, man, you done lost all this time. You done gave all yourself time to this and that. So now I'm starting to hold myself in contempt about why I hadn't done it before. You know what I'm saying? And I really had to sit in a lot of that stuff and figure that stuff out. But I ultimately had to decide that what's best for me is going to be what's best for me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And learning to do other things with that time. It allowed me an opportunity to spend more time with my family, you know, do more little intimate things. I was able to get out, be active, save the money, like I said. So I did everything else I wanted to do other than take the trips. But like I said, it really taught me that you got to have a plan for your plan and make sure that when that starts to waver and shift, what else are you going to do to get things done? Which kind of goes back to what I was saying about the walking part. That's a big portion of it. What about you?
Yeah, I think COVID and 2020 just taught me resiliency, like to be more resilient.
Okay.
And I say that because as a preschool teacher, it was very difficult to go from building classroom culture and rapport with my kids and then now having to do that virtually.
Yeah, that shit sucked, didn't it?
That sucked for me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I really am.
I'll never forget. I'll never forget.
I'm just really big on building relationships.
And connecting,
and
right?
Connecting. And that doesn't stop.
Mm-mm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and I think when COVID came and my classroom was like now virtually on a computer screen, the hardest thing for me was the last day of school when I had to hit the button that said leave meeting. And that was the last day of school. I was like,
what is this?
So this is how the end of the year is.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit this button that says leave meeting. And
we're
then
we're all just going to walk.
And
poof.
We're just going to be gone.
Poof.
The energy of the children.
Yeah.
Like that was like, oh my gosh. So I think all of that and 2020 and the deaths that we, you know, we're exposed to, I think resilient. I think I'm more resilient than I feel like I've ever been in my life.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely does stretch you. Mm-hmm. Shit like this definitely stretches you to, and it makes you come to terms with what you can do, what you want to do, what you should do. Like, you really got to sit in and face that shit. So I feel you.
And you know what irritated me was that meme that was going around that was like, if
you ain't done this,
doing COVID, then you ain't.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh?
Right. Like, we it's need people to like stop some. It's really people out here that's just like struggling from this,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, mental health is a real thing. You know what I'm saying? So people sitting in the house, you know, you got your introverts, right? So it's some people that just like to be alone. But I feel like even for them, this was a little too much, alone, too much dark, too much in a space. You know what I'm saying?
It was just too much. Like, every time I looked on social media, it was that meme, like, if you haven't written the book,
you better have 15,000 businesses, bitch.
Yeah, if you haven't.
Or you ain't been doing nothing with your time.
Right, I hated that. I was like, yo, people are just trying to survive.
That's right.
Like,
survive.
We trying to still be here. Like, why are we trying to build businesses? We're trying to build more faith.
And here's the thing.
Like,
if
let
you,
me be all right.
If you can, and if that's a thing,
then
great.
Go for it.
Absolutely. We salute that. We applaud it. Girl, do your thing. We're going to clap for you. But if you couldn't do that, if all you could do was get out the bed and open your eyes, you still did enough.
Then I applaud you for that.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Just getting out of bed and open your eyes, because there's some people out here that did not make it through this. And COVID did not take them. Yeah, COVID did impact them not making it. But COVID did not take them. Some people just got into this shit so deep and couldn't get out that's where they lost themselves. So, nigga, if you got up, if you woke up in the morning, stepped 1 foot out of your bed, I salute you. I applaud you. Ma'am, you did that shit.
Yeah.
I'm your number one fan if you did that shit, if you still doing that shit today.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because this shit is not easy to do.
No,
it's not easy to do at all. Yana, what's yours? What you got?
Oh, what do I have? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, COVID, like, this was the time for me to really sit down and reevaluate my life.
Right.
And
okay. Not
only my life, but the people around me that played important parts in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the COVID, I will tell people, I've been through the Twilight Zone.
Like shit, right?
Like, COVID is the Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
for me.
It's the sunken place.
It is
for some.
You know, today,
the whole ass sunken place.
Today is a good day. You know what I'm saying? And it just showed me that I needed to love myself more. You know, worry about if everybody
what everybody else doing.
You know, and it wasn't even about what they were doing; just making sure they was okay.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
You know. I mean, I live in a house with 12
people. I was gonna say,
you know,
down to 12. I thought it was like 15.
You know, 12 people and two dogs and one damn
turtle.
Oh yeah,
I counted those. So that's the 15.
you know, it's a lot of mixed emotions.
Uh huh.
Right.
It's a lot of mental illness.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first to tell you, I am diagnosed, and you know, I struggle with that daily.
Right.
But then when you put that in a house with people who don't necessarily believe and understand mental illness. You know, they go back to that.
But did you die?
And we're going to pray about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And we should.
As you should.
But we can't just pray.
Absolutely.
Because faith without works is dead. And
so,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, it just really showed me, you know, just start loving you.
Doing you. What you want to do.
Don't give 2 cents about nobody else.
Yep.
You know,
don't not even
go
one
out
cent.
Of your way.
Mm-mm, don't do it.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody is out here doing what they want to do. That's the thing that this whole thing taught me. Like, people are out here doing what they want to do. They in the circles they want to be in.
Absolutely.
Because this is one of those things where you got to keep your circle small, right? So you find out who your circle is in a time like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Who wants to be around, who don't want to be around, where they are at.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Where they are frequenting and stuff like that. You get to, like, really see that.
Yeah.
As a working mechanism during COVID, because,
like,
people are actually choosing where they want to be.
People that you think are your friends or in your corner.
Yeah.
Like,
they not.
COVID really showed you.
Like, no.
Who
COVID
showed?
COVID
you
showed
you
that you are in your corner, and you better do it all.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
you better do it all. Pretty much.
Yeah.
All
I
right.
Agree.
What's
I
up
agree.
With you?
I mean, several things come to mind.
Okay.
Like, this whole COVID thing brought so much, but I guess for me personally, it showed me, kind of like what Ayana said, like my flaws, my procrastination, even my goals, and you know, whatever revelation you know I may have received, but like everything, but it showed me,
right?
And I had, and like I said, I was the only one that could either, you know, better those things, change things, but you know, I had to face it. I had to face my flaws. I had to face my procrastination. I had to face, you know, not allowing COVID to take me to a place of depression. Again.
Yeah.
You know, because truth be told, and I don't mind sharing it. You know, I had been there before. And I did come through that, and I, you know, applaud myself.
But, I applaud you now. But the COVID
COVID thing is like, you here by yourself. I mean, I have my children, and my daughter was with me, you know, with my son. But it, you just have to face yourself. You have to be your own champion. And you have to be, I realize I have to be more disciplined. It's so easy to fall into that just nonchalant, everyday routine. Well, you know, you set in your mind what you plan to do. But then it's like, what good is it? You know, I can't go nowhere. Can't, you know, it's just, so you defeat yourself. So I really had to just look at myself and just get disciplined. And the goals that I did have, like actually write a plan. So that I would have a physical something in my face when I had those moments. You know, just to remind myself, this is what. You know, you said you were going to do. What plans are you going to take today? You know, even do one thing. And not over exhaust myself, because I truly believe, like you said, even if I got out of bed and I did one thing on that list, I still did something. You know, even if I just got out of bed.
Sometimes you got to really celebrate the small wins, and people don't tell you to do that. You know, people want you to have the end and you crushing for it. And don't get me wrong.
That's what they you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but every day, every day should have its own victories. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like when you treat it like that every single day, you get a little further every single day. Because when you're looking at the big goals sometimes all the way at the end, it's so intimidating. Like at my job, like there's a thing that some of my team has to do. And it's a pretty decent job. It's like a full store, you know, review almost. And so what I did was I broke it down into weeks. Each week, they should focus on a specific package or brand or something like that to make it a little less intimidating, so they're chiseling away at it. So by the time they get to the end of the month, they've done it all. And then you can feel accomplished because, okay, I got this one done this week, and I got 7 days to, like, do that. And then next week, and then I got 7 days. So that actually worked out a lot because I think it matched with the kind of time that they had, what was going on. It allowed room for incidents and error and stuff like that. And a lot of times we don't give ourselves that much grace. That's been my kind of thing the last couple of weeks, to just thinking about grace and compassion for yourself. Like, accountability is big. Like, that's my deal. You got to hold yourself accountable. And I was reading, I kind of got off the wagon a little bit. And so my friend Callie, shout out to Callie. Hope she watching. If she not, then, you know, we won't have to get her on the playback. Hey, Callie. But she gave me this book by David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me. And so in reading that book, it makes you almost be like, oh, no, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? You out there, hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, you can't. You will not be defeated. And that, I mean, that's my mentality, you know, for the most part every day. But that really pushed me to, like, stop making excuses for myself. So even when I didn't do something, now I got to sit in that, okay, Takana, why are you not doing this? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't so much that I had to accomplish the goal more than it was that I had to accept responsibility for what I was or was not doing and have to sit inside of that and decide, okay, so if you were supposed to do 3.5 miles today and you didn't, are you doing 7 tomorrow? Are you going to do, you know, extra mile a week for the next 3 weeks? Like, how do you make sense of what it is you have not done yet? You know what I'm saying? So that you can make up for it. And I feel like that's where I had been missing it. Like I said, I would get to that roadblock and I would just be like, fuck it, throw my hands up, I'm done. And I think that now, that reading that book put me in the perspective of, okay, now how are we gonna make up the shortage? Give yourself some grace. Give yourself some compassion. Shit happens. You know, you get thrown off. You fall off. You got to dust yourself off. Get back up. But now, how do I now go back out here and keep on smashing this thing? Joy says, grace and compassion for yourself. Said it's a good reminder and necessary. And then Riri says, you have to trust yourself and God and get a diary because you can't trust nobody. Family or friends. Nobody. Can't trust no one. All of these people out here just tripping. But E, you had something? Were you about to say something?
I was just going to say, like, and it kind of piggybacked off what you were saying. We have to thank ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, We can be thankful for other people.
And everything.
And everything else.
That everybody does.
But we need to thank ourselves mm-hmm. for the work that we put in. Mm-hmm. And it's not about being selfish or anything. Right. It's really looking in the mirror and saying, oh my gosh, like I did this. I did that. Yes, God, you helped me and everything. But I did
this. Yes, God, you gave me the ability,
right? You gave
right?
me the ability
but
to do
I
this.
But I used said ability. You know yeah. what I mean? I decided. And I think I was in the gym. As a matter of fact, I was in the gym one time with Callie. And I was on the damn elliptical. That motherfucker will kill you. if you fool enough and do the wrong thing, that joint That's could right. be a weapon. I'm just saying. But nonetheless.
So
I'm
on it.
Yeah,
rhythm.
You got it. I don't know if I got rhythm because I was on there about to have death. I was about to have blues.
Coordination.
Yeah, it had rhythm. I had blues. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, so I'm on there and I think we had decided we were doing like a certain distance. So I'm getting it, you know what I'm saying? And that distance is coming, but it ain't. I feel like with every step, I feel like the time is going in the reverse or something. I felt like the time just wasn't going. So finally I got to a point where I kind of started to think about some of the stuff that you just said. And I'm like, you know, I have the ability to do these things. I have mm-hmm. the courage to do this. Mm-hmm. I have the dedication to do this. And mm-hmm. I started thinking about how much we put all of the power and all of the might outside of ourselves. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Even when it comes down to, like, you know, the way you identify from a religious standpoint mm-hmm. or a spiritual standpoint or whatever. Mostly religious to me, but not today. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, you put all of that stuff outside of you. And even that to me sometimes is a detriment mm-hmm. to how you value and build yourself up because yes. you almost feel like you can't be anything yourself.
Other than
right. You know what I'm saying? But right. if the motto is greater is he or she that is in me, you know what I mean?
That's right.
Then if that's on the inside of you being powered and fueled, then you should be able to take responsibility. Like, I used to joke about this, but about the whole Takana Christ and this, that, and the third. Like, if they saying Christ is Jesus Christ was the Christ, you know, whatever. So, I'm Takana Christ, you read a Christ, whatever. So, if all of us are that, then why can't we be walking around with the same power and might exactly. to be able to do and be firm in that and feel good about it? I feel like the same people that's telling you should have that kind of power and ability is also telling you that it should be limited
yes.
and you shouldn't be utilizing it a certain kind of way because that's not Christ-like.
Right.
But you said the man got off the cross. I'm
right.
just saying, didn't the nigga do a big thing?
Right.
I can't do a big thing too. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not magical.
Yeah, I can't be magic.
That's
I can't.
Right.
I can't roll away a stone.
That is
you know
so
what I'm
funny
saying
to me because this
like
morning,
that's wild.
Listen, Portia was watching.
Hey, Portia.
Mount Zion.
Portia got you.
Yeah.
Hey, Portia got you.
Was watching Mount Zion's church service because she was being honored for like one of the heroes in the neighborhood or something for Black History Month.
Hey Zeke, are we going to 6:30 or we gotta go to 6?
You can go to 6:30.
Okay, all right, thank you, Champ.
And you know,
y'all, I'm sorry, y'all good with that? Cause I got y'all time from 5 to 6. Okay, all right, cool.
The order of service, you know, I'm listening to it in the background.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm not really big on watching church services on
right.
Sunday.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting at the table making a fruit salad, and I'm listening. You know, not
Yay,
really
fruit
paying
salad.
Attention. And the man was like, "Well, now we're gonna read this sacred text," and I was like,
"The sacred text."
Yeah, so I
It's the sacred.
The sacred part caught me, right? So I'm steady
Ooh,
listening.
What's the sacred about
so
it?
So then he said something about the sacred offering. So then I say, "Well, Mom, what's the sacred text?" And she was like, "I don't know. I thought it was some, you know, some of your kind of stuff."
Some of your kind of stuff. I thought he was
like,
here doing some of your kind of
so
stuff.
So then it was like, "Well, now we're going to do
Portia got
the
you.
Sacred." And I was like, "Well, Mom, you know, this is all witchcraft." She was like, "Yeah, I don't know about this sacred stuff." So that is funny that you said that because, you know, in me listening to that and then, you know, going through my spiritual stuff and, you know, coming from a church background, I'm now starting to pick out or pinpoint those parts of, let's say, Baptist, you know, Christianity that are in fact rooted in
yes, a lot
witchcraft
of
or let me say not witchcraft
yeah,
but
don't say that
Ancestral reverence, hoodoo.
Well, I mean, that's where,
you know, so it's like, it wow. Yeah, but then, you know, you'll get some of those Christians that will argue you down that it's wrong.
But you know what I say? There was a God before there was a Bible.
Yeah.
And that just got to be the fact.
Yeah.
You know, we all got to just agree, even if you want to disagree. I don't see why you would, but there was a God before there was a Bible. So while we may, you know, be aligning ourselves with the good book, I understand it. It's the word. I understand that too. But you got to be thinking about what people was doing before the Bible was actually scripted and put in play.
Well, then that calls into question for me, because I watched the, what was the religious program that just came on recently? I can't even think of it, but I think it was like on A&E or something. It was about the Black Church or something.
I ain't watched either. Well, y'all heard about that? The Black Church?
I haven't seen it.
It was very interesting. Uh-huh. And it was like, you know, now you can see those similarities and you pulling them out, but then you still have this notion. Well, I think Christians have this notion that, you know, this is the end all be all with the Bible. And it's like,
do believe that though.
Yeah, but looking at the history, it was like the Bible was written by whom?
Right.
You know, and it said what to, let's say, the slaves.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a way to keep you captured. And I'm like, okay, so are my people still captured?
Yeah. Right. You know they all captured, right?
I mean, okay. That's how I was thinking.
Our first preacher wasn't sent to teach us. Rather, to blind us with reminders, using a good book to further bind us. Yeah, that's what that line is about. Right. Okay. Yeah.
I think that was, you know, it's been brought up that, you know, like you said, they first used the Bible to basically keep us, you know.
And it wasn't just the Bible. It was the preacher. The preacher.
Right. To keep you basically in this little box or shell, what have you, keep you.
Like slave to master. The only scriptures that they was walking around talking about was the slave to master scriptures.
Right.
That's
right.
It.
Like, how do you take a whole book and just omit all of that?
Easy. But we live in a world that does that to us every day
now.
So
who
outside,
put back?
Outside of
back
the Bible.
In the book?
So basically we took it back. Or the church, a Black church, kind of took it back, took that negative, made it into a positive type of, I guess.
But then they became the oppressor.
But then, right. And what what I've noticed, and it's not, I don't want to make a blanket statement, it's everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Majority, I don't believe that there is any everybody.
But majority of the Black church, if they receive, some of them receive funding, like you're supposed to speak on a certain thing.
Yeah,
right.
You know, absolutely. What
I mean? Like, you will find they won't even speak on Revelation, some of them, or the ancient books. Or mm-hmm. I don't say ancient books, let me back up. Some of the older books that were decided at the Council of Nicaea to, you know, not put in the
y'all about
Bible.
To get that work out here fooling with Reddit. Y'all gonna learn things today.
Now, just with that being said, like, left out things and, like, events that took place, or who actually put the Bible, who actually wrote it, we'll find that they were actually some Black folks or African people, however you want to classify them, who actually wrote some of those scripts.
Right.
And, you know, it was like Constantinople, who actually, you know, hired them or charged certain people with putting it all together, but the actual author of the scripts, who actually wrote the thing and, you know, translated from the original ancient script, was our people.
Right.
So within that, like, people have also said that there's certain codes and there's certain things in there for us.
Yeah, that's why you can't turn your back on it. You just got to be open to it. You can't turn your back on it. You can't pull it out. It's one of those things that you got to take them all, bring them all together. Mm-hmm. And it was years ago that I said I wanted to do one of those, like, like, care groups. I went to this church in Woodbridge. It was called Faith Ministries. And they did, like, these care groups every, like, maybe every other Sunday or something like that. So after church, you know, depending on where you lived, you might meet at somebody's house and have dinner, and then all the kids are together and they pray and do all that. And I actually wanted to do a care group like that, where we bring all of the, you know, religions together and just kind of discuss how they all come together to tell the story that we need in order to survive and thrive.
Right.
It's not one that today you might need this one. Tomorrow, right. you might need this, you know what I'm saying? So, bringing all of those things together, kind of a melting pot of spirituality and really like picking through and discussing how they all are layered, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, and how you can use them all mm-hmm. In order to make your life better. But you've been quiet. What's up? What's your thoughts?
Because, I mean, isn't that what the kingdom is? The kingdom is just not one type of person.
Yeah, you would think that, but that, like, but people in the kingdom don't be acting like that. Right. People in the kingdom be acting like it's only one kind of person in the kingdom.
Yeah, you're right. Some people do that, but I'm like, isn't that what the kingdom is? The kingdom of God is
many colors, many shapes, many sizes, languages.
Yeah, sure. I just think, you know, it's some bad seeds in there.
Of course.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just interesting to me. And especially coming from the, you know, church background.
Right.
You know, and then with my spiritual journey, trying to unlearn.
Yeah, it's the unlearning and relearning for me.
Yeah, it's
the unlearning and relearning for me,
I just think in your relearning, like, don't be so dismissive.
Absolutely.
Your journeys.
Yeah.
Each one is significant.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, absolutely.
Each one I've learned.
Oh my goodness.
And you were, you know, there's lessons taught, and there's even scriptures over to have certain things that you still need to keep with you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I walked through, you know, several different religions myself, but I know as of today, like, it's all relative.
Yeah.
And it all comes
every piece matters.
Right.
So every piece matters.
And I can't dismiss anybody.
Yeah.
If somebody stayed in this school of thought and they didn't, you know, like I said, you know, just kind of elevate to another school of thought, I mean, that wasn't for them. I'm not going to, you know, just kill them.
Maybe for them it's tomorrow.
Right.
But for you it's today.
And that's where
the grace comes in. I mean, like, being judgmental of other people's processes and their plans and how they do it. I saw something the other day. I've seen it a couple times this week where it said that everybody's not going to understand your calling because it wasn't a conference call.
Right.
And I feel like people always get into, I think church does it to people. A lot of times you go to church and you're sitting in the service thinking about how this message is going to be good for a whole nother person. Like, you're hearing the message and you can easily identify how that message is better for so-and-so. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Instead of it being one of those internal things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where we just really got to get back to, that part of thinking about how everything got to be working for us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. How are we going to take this thing and make ourselves better? In making ourselves better, we make the world better instead of just trying to project out goodness and making everybody else good. It's you focusing on you, and that's what March is going to be all about.
Kingdom.
Yeah, and that is kingdom. You know what I'm saying? And that is kingdom.
And I think that's what COVID taught the kingdom.
Yeah.
Was it's time to sit down and think about you.
Right.
And what your purpose is in this world to better it, to be a whatever you need to be for this world, but you need to focus on you.
Right.
And that's what I think the whole COVID shenanigan was.
And I think also we were also taught that the church is a building.
Yeah. Church is not a building.
I mean, it's not a building.
Yeah,
we
it's
are
not.
The church.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
COVID taught us that we're the church.
Yes.
And the building is
not
place,
the church.
Just where we go.
Yeah. That's the parking lot.
That's the right.
Mm-hmm. That's the parking lot.
So, like, you have to, I mean, COVID, like, I like to fellowship with people when I go to church.
Yeah,
you know what
right.
I mean?
Of course.
I like to see people. So, looking at church online
is, whoo, low.
It's difficult for a person like me that wants to be.
You
want to
hug thy neighbor.
People.
Look at your neighbor and say, "I love the Lord." You want to say, "I love the Lord."
Your neighbor.
Well, I mean, y'all sounding
No. I'm not. I'm saying no. I'm saying it's that being there next to the person
and the person. Yeah. Person interaction.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not being funny about it. Really.
The spirit.
My bad. My bad.
That's okay. That's okay. But yeah, I just know, like, it has been very difficult for me sometimes to be in my room watching it on a computer.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, I started to beat myself up a little bit because I was like, oh my God, I'm not watching church today. Or I'm not watching it at 10 o'clock. But, like, I can watch it later. Like,
because now you can.
Because now I can. But for some people, virtual church has been
it. Everything it for them. Everything for them.
And
for I feel like virtual church has got a lot of people in the church that wasn't going to church because now they don't got to get dressed. They don't got to get the kids ready. They ain't got to do, you know, they can do it in their pajamas.
I ain't got to do my hair. I ain't got
to Yeah, it ain't the fashion show. The people that are trying to get away from the fashion show, they ain't got to deal with it now.
Yeah, it's been difficult.
But
for me.
I think that just goes to.
It was difficult for me watching this morning because, you know, growing up in the church and, you know, Macedonia with the singing and the, you know, the hand clapping, I miss that part of church. You know, so when they were singing today at Mount Zion, I mean, they were singing a song that I remembered, you know, from going to church. And I wanted to, you know, clap and give them a little dance on. But I was
felt weird in there with
like,
the solo clap. Felt weird with the solo clap.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think that just goes back to, you know, understanding yourself, your own emotional intelligence, how you are. That aligns with what you said about the school, too.
Right.
Being there. Being connected,
it feeds me.
Absolutely,
it feeds me.
So when
and
if that's you,
that feed me, mm-hmm. I want to eat it.
Yes,
that's right.
Yeah, I want to eat. What
I want to
me.
Eat what feeds me.
I want to eat what feeds me.
If it feeds me,
it is. I want to eat what feeds me.
Okay, I want to eat what feeds me. But no, like that is what feeds and fuels me.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. being around people and you know. Like assembly of mm-hmm. the saints and
but
the people.
I mean the word says assemble the people men, women and children and the aliens dot 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 so it basically says come together, bring the people together,
everybody
bring everybody together. So it's still necessary.
It's happening across a computer like people are still getting together. I mean like people are on the comments on there, you're like, you know, they're there, but like
I don't think it's the same.
Yeah, like, it's not. But here's the thing.
It's twofold.
Here's the thing, though. Oh, go ahead. It's
no,
twofold.
No, I was just saying that certain people are communicating that you've never communicated with before. It's, you know, churches, some people that sit in the back pew, or they may sit in the balcony, or they're quiet, and nobody ever talks to them.
Right.
Nobody ever talks to them. But now everybody's online. They're in the chat.
Yeah, so everybody's being able to. Uh-huh.
They're connecting.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think that going back to, I always use my job because it's such a big part of me, but I keep telling my supervisors that we got to figure out a way to be just as, if not more engaging than we were before COVID, now that COVID exists. Mm-hmm. And we have to do it in a virtual world. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's our job as leaders of the world. You know what I'm saying? In that particular organization, to figure out how to do that so people still get the message. People still know we exist. People still feel connected, even though we're not there to actually connect with them face-to-face, which brings that full circle to this. Because remember, when communion first came out, or the thought of it, we were open. That was 2018, mm-hmm. I think, or 17 or 18, where I first brought that idea to the table. And we were going to go sit in restaurants, actually talk over a meal, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And for whatever reasons, a lot happened, writing a book, you know, stuff like going through a divorce, all that. And now, you know, COVID. But it's crazy that now, with COVID, COVID has made this make more sense now mm-hmm. than it made sense when we were going to go sit in a restaurant mm-hmm. and actually do it. Right. Because this is an opportunity for us to sit here just like how we're doing right now. All these people on here, you know, they're texting, and to your point, they're in the comments, they chiming in on it, please let me know this, yes, thank you, I was just thinking that. So now we've connected with more people live at this second than we would have connected with people had we recorded it, sat it, edited it in the restaurant, like in real time, we're actually having the impact and the influence that we want to have, and this is something that COVID brought to us in this way, you know what I'm saying? So while COVID is taking things away from a lot of people, you know what I mean? A lot of people have taken some losses that, you know, they'll never forget because of COVID. Yeah. At the same time, everything has to be, you know, brought to the table, and we got to figure out how to see the cup half full, you know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right.
It's a big deal to see the cup half full every single day and be building on that and having grace and compassion for yourself and others about how we move forward and the things that we do. So I'm excited about what communion has the ability to be, what kind of conversations come up from it. E, so with the affirmation, is this our affirmation for the month, or is this our affirmation for this week, and we're going to have another affirmation next week?
Lord, here goes the writer.
The writer asking me again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I think it's just like the affirmation part. I feel like you own that thing. I feel like you just like, I felt so good about what we said.
Well, then I feel like then that can be, some of it can be repeated because, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, I mean, we can repeat it until
you got another
the
one.
Energy shifts. And
until
then,
you got another
and,
one.
Until we have something else to affirm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But I feel like that is very like clear and concise and can be said.
Can you read it? Can you read it again for the viewers the viewers that weren't here?
Well, I think she should read it with the motions. You know, she had.
Yeah, I know. Wait, let me get. Let me turn my camera around. So everybody sees E and how she gets down. When she's affirming. I mean, there is a camera over there that got you already. You divided turtles. Let's get this delivery part.
No. I'm just going to read it.
Okay, she's just going to read it, guys.
Just going to read it.
So, for everybody that didn't catch the affirmation at the beginning of the show, this is our affirmation for as long as it needs to be until we got a new one. So, if you're listening, play it back, write it down, copy it, say it to yourself later. But this is what we're using for communion right now.
All right. So, I have a healthy body, heart, soul, and mind. I am full of positive and nourishing thoughts. Communion is where I come to unite with those around me. I am grounded and present in this experience. I am here, I am whole.
I am here and I am whole.
Yes.
I am here and I am whole.
And I love that last part, just being here. I am
present.
I am present. That's my thing. Recently. Because I have a tendency to
not be present.
You know, I'll do the task. I'll write the list. I'll start number one. But when I'm in number one, I'm thinking about
number two and number 15.
Three, four, five, six, and seven.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And tomorrow's. Uh-huh. It's like be present.
In the moment,
in
man.
In the moment. Each moment.
Y'all don't even know.
Yeah.
Y'all don't.
I like that.
Y'all don't
Thank
even
you.
Know. I couldn't even,
oh
I couldn't
my
even
God,
explain
I'm
it
a
to
writer.
You. Oh my God. You did it.
Maybe I am a writer.
You are a writer.
Oh my gosh. Okay,
and a dancer.
Ahead.
And a speaker.
Yes. Amen.
And a creator.
Yes.
As we all are.
Yes.
I receive.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, for real. But no, being present, man, it's so important. Like, over the last, I'm going to just call it 30 days. Over the last 30 days, like, really being in every single day and really just enjoying it. Mm. As that day, not concerned with any other day, not the day before it, not the day after it, just this one right here. Sometimes I'm doing that and I'll get to thinking to myself, I'll kind of put myself in contempt sometimes and I'll be like, no, you're not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you should be thinking about it. And then I reel myself in and I'll be like, no, I should be thinking about what I'm thinking about right here in this moment, enjoying this. Right now, because what not being present does is it puts us in a position where we don't actually enjoy the journey. You know what I'm saying? So many things I've missed over time because, like you said, I'm thinking about 6, 7, 8, and 9 while I'm on number one. And don't really get to fully experience what number one is trying to teach me. What it's trying to take away from it. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you holding on to too much. You know what I'm saying? And need to be letting things go. So, but not being present doesn't allow you to do that. So, like, over the last 30 days, really, like, just sitting inside my experiences and enjoying them wholeheartedly. I can't say that I've been this happy ever in my life. You know what I'm saying? Ever in my whole entire life. Just resting right here.
Awesome.
In this moment, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know if I'm going back. I don't think I am.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing. I'm trying to tell you, like, when you start to shed all of those expectations and, you know, all of the things that everybody else tries to project on you and put on you. It's one thing to have to show up full and do your part and do your job, right? But it's another thing that I feel like sometimes we overexert ourselves in what it is that we need to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we tell ourselves we're not doing enough because we've been told so much that we got to be doing more.
That's
but why can't we just be doing this and why we can't just be happy now, and why can't this just be a good thing, cuz, you know what I'm saying? I feel like as soon as you start feeling something good, something comes in, that conditioning comes in and tells you, like, you can't be happy. I just asked somebody to make me a t-shirt that says, somebody very important, by the way, I don't want to just say it's like somebody, like it's just anybody, but I just asked them to make me a shirt that says too good to be false, because I'm really working around changing the narrative around things. You know what I'm saying? Like, people tell you, you so finicky. Why shouldn't I be particular about where I'm going to go and who I'm going to be with and what I'm going to do? Why does finicky have to be a bad thing? Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't I be treating myself with such care? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So why can't I have something that is too good to actually be a false thing? You know what I'm saying? Like, why does it have to be one of those things that it can't be for me? I feel like we so used to thinking that we can't have good things, that we're not deserving. I had to put that on my mirror, you know what I'm saying? That I am worthy and deserving of this experience, because we go through much and all of this struggle of, and, you know, you got to go through the pit. I get it, for the joy set before you. That's a real thing. So I get that that's a part of it. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like that has become the rule, you know what I'm saying? And not an exception. It's not one of those things that it happens sometimes. I feel like we believe that in order for love to be what it is, in order for it to be fruitful and whole and actually returning on the harvest, you got to be going through a struggle to do it. And I'm telling you, when you get to a place where you experiencing something that don't have no struggle in it, you like on a whole nother, you like levitating. You like almost off your feet. You know what I'm saying? Because it just makes you so light. Right. And airy. It's almost like you are your spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are outside your body. You know, it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, it's ass thing. But that's, I know it because I seen it.
That's real. And
I known it because I seen it.
That's the whole energy. And I know Ayana's into the, you know, certain crystals and the chakras or whatever. But when you tap into that type of big God energy, as a friend of mine, someone we grew up with, says, really, it's a whole different experience.
Yeah,
it is.
And that's across religion. It's across, you know, creed, you know, whatever color you are.
Right. Really,
if you tap into that energy, like you said, even with your mate, when y'all connect on that level and just knowing that exists.
Right.
It's a whole different
And
feeling.
It's all making a decision. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
It's all choice. Making a decision.
It's a choice.
I decided to not be happy. I decided to struggle. I decided to experience these things. I decided to be lied to. I decided all of that, and now I decide not to.
Right.
I decide
to not do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I decide to be loving, and I decide to be loved. And I don't decide anything else other than that.
I have decided.
And I decided that I will no longer, or the negative,
absolutely.
or the judgment for me poured into me.
Absolutely.
For me walking in that.
Right.
I know this exists. And
I have decided not to take on your waste.
Right. I'm not taking on your waste. I'm not taking on your baggage or burden.
That's it.
Your negative energy.
I will not. I decide. Everybody out there, you figure out what you decide. I want to see that in the comments. I want to know what you decide. What do you decide for March? I decide.
That's it.
I decide. That's a big thing. So we at 6:23. So man, we done almost got through our first show, guys. It's been so exciting.
Yay.
A lot of talking. Look like our audience is enjoying the show. Can't wait to be back next week at 5 PM again on Sunday. This is every single Sunday. Sometimes you might not have all four of us. Sometimes you'll have a couple of us, maybe some couple visitors. Maybe it might be some times where I'm just here by myself or not at all. But nonetheless, every single Sunday, 5 PM coming out of Rhythmix Radio. Closing thoughts. E-Day, what you think about the show, how it went, and what do you decide for March Madness for yourself?
Okay. So, first thing, I think the show is exactly what it's supposed to be, and I think that it was what it was supposed to be when we did it.
Yep. And I think it's divine timing.
Uh-huh. And I think that God had us wait for whatever reason.
Yes. Amen.
And the weight is not a denial.
It's what we're drinking.
It's just like not
by
yet.
The way.
And I'm here for the not yet because it's saying that it's coming.
Absolutely. It's
just, I'm here for the not
absolutely.
Yet. Absolutely. So,
all yeses and amens.
Yeah. And what I decide is to continue learning and being me, okay. not to let anything sway me, to continue to rest in the resiliency that I have developed through COVID. Right. And I'm also deciding to read more.
Okay.
And
reading anything good right now?
So I just finished Zora and Langston.
Oh yeah, you were telling me about that.
Book okay. about Zora Neale Hurston and Langston Hughes. But I also am going to not beat myself up if I miss a workout.
Okay.
I've been working out for a couple of years now with Chase Fitness, VA.
Shout out to Chase Fitness.
Shout out to Chase Fitness. I'm telling you, he'll get you right.
Get you together.
He's an awesome, awesome trainer. But I went in saying I wanted to know how to do a push-up. I could not do a push-up. That was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to do a push-up.
And look at God.
And he was like, that's your goal? I'm like, yes. I want to be able
and
to
do... And she was serious, guys. It was right. It was a real thing. She wanted to be able to do a push-up.
I wanted to do a real one. Not a real push-up. Not the ones on your knees, ladies.
She wanted to do the bona fide, the real get her one. Done push-up.
Yeah. I can do them joints now. So
many of them joints, not just one.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yes. Maybe two. No. Maybe.
I think about five.
I think I can do about five.
I can do about five. But I'm just not going to beat myself up
okay.
when I miss a workout.
Okay.
I'm just going to, like you said
you
decided
to give yourself some grace.
Pick up the slack.
That's it.
Find it, you know, find the time to insert it and give myself grace. So I'm deciding to give myself grace.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yana, what about you? What you going to decide for March Madness? What do you think about the show? What you decide you're going to do for March Madness for yourself?
Okay. So the show, I think just like E said, it's exactly
everybody's
going to
call you E now.
That's good. That's cool. I like that. I feel hip.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we're cousins. This is what we would normally be doing
it
without
is.
All the mics.
Yeah. Mics are cool.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to the experience. Yeah. And as far as the march and me, we'll see. And for me, it's not just march. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, the COVID has sent me through some changes. Mm-hmm. So, and in them changes, I had to focus on me.
Okay.
And in that, that's, you know, being uncomfortable, that's dealing with emotions and stuff that I'm not, you know, prepared for necessarily.
Yeah.
Being exposed.
Uh-huh.
Dealing with a lot of stuff. Okay. So, it's not just March for me that I'm dealing with me because that's what it is.
Well, we just starting with March. We're going to keep going.
Well, I think that's a good time to start. March into it.
Yeah.
That's the month that tells us to do something.
March into it.
So March into that.
March into it.
And then just
y'all
keep it up.
Well, and that's what I'm doing.
So what you going to decide to march into?
Me.
Marching into me.
That's it.
Well, then. And so y'all is marching into me. All right. Rheta, what you got?
Okay, as far as the show,
we march.
I gotta say, when you first, you know, came to me with the idea, I mean, I thought it was amazing. I'm like, this is beautiful. This is amazing. And the cousin that you chose, you know, it's just like I just felt like this was something special. It was just, you know, it was already done thing. I didn't know how it was gonna come to fruition and how you were putting it together, how you know the higher power was putting it together,
right?
But I knew that it was something good, even though it's kind of making me come out of myself and share myself with I guess
the world.
Yeah,
this is a world thing.
Yes.
This is World Wide Web. WWW.
You know, I learned things and I studied things, but I don't, you know, put my opinions or thoughts on other people. I just choose. If it happens,
right?
If you inquire,
yeah,
happenstance. I just
and I feel like anybody that's deciding to listen to us is inquiring because we not gonna be, you know, censored on here. We not showing up to tell anybody anything. We showing up to discuss ourselves.
Yeah,
we're experts on our own experience.
Absolutely.
And so we showing up as experts about us, talking about what we think and what we feel. And anybody that doesn't want to be a part of that does not have to watch.
And I don't claim to know it all. And I may make, you know, mistakes. I may say things because I done studied stuff for 20 years. I forgot a lot.
Right.
But I decide for March just to walk in my truth.
Okay. And, I like it.
Just to walk in my
I
truth.
I like it.
And hold myself to that and be to be disciplined.
About it. Yeah. Okay.
And don't shy away. Or what is a word? Don't shy away from that.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Don't guess. No. That's it. That's what it is.
That's it. Yeah.
So I guess for me then, for the show, of course, I mean, I am elated, you know. I am super happy to have the three of y'all here. I can't tell y'all that enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got cousins galore, and I love all of you. I know you guys are watching, and, you know, maybe you get an opportunity to be on the show as a guest. But these particular cousins that are here right now are cousins that have been with me through things, taught me so many things, you know, from being a child and teenager, now an adult. Just such a depth and wealth of knowledge coming out of each one of them, and all of you guys knowing me in different kind of ways to help pull certain things out. You know what I mean? So I couldn't have a better three sitting here with me, and I wouldn't trade y'all for the world. So I'm just glad that y'all are here, and I look forward to what's going to be next. And for me, for March Meanness, I decide to continue loving on myself in a way that allows for me to be loved by others. Because I think that a lot of times you don't get to experience love in its fullness because of the way that you're showing up for yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when you start showing up for yourself in a way that is inviting for other people to do it, then you start to get to experience love on a level that you've never known. That's you know what I'm saying? Good. So that's my thing that I decide. So everybody in the comments, I mean, we about to get off at 6:30, so we about to hit 6:31, and I can't be on these people $3 more. So we out of here, right? But put your I decide in the comments. Let us know what you decide for March Meanness. We'll be back next week so we can talk about it again. I'll pull your comments out, shout them out, and let y'all know. 5 p.m. on Sundays, TK the Kid, E-Day,
yes.
Ayana Wilson, and Retta Bell. Thank y'all for tuning in, and we will see y'all next week.
All right, peace out.
Peace out.
Love ya.
Love y'all.